Welcome to High School Hockey on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, along with Salem News Sports Editor Phil Stacey, our producer and engineer Bill Proposky. We've got a big high school hockey game in the Northeastern Conference today from the Raymond A. Bork Arena at Endicott College. Today's game on MSO News Sports being brought to you by Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor. Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. Moore GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years at 557 Chestnut Street in Lynn. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for all your tax preparation needs. Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. The Lynn Museum at 590 Washington Street in Lynn, combining with Lynn Arts, building a vibrant cultural center in downtown Lynn. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance. Port Hole Restaurant, try their award-winning clam chowder. Lynn Auditorium, one of the premier entertainment venues in the state. And the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com, the Daily Item serving the North Shore since 1877. Well, hello there. Very pleasant day. It's nice and cool outside, a little bit feeling a little bit like winter finally as we bring in the year 2016. And, of course, it's very soon going to be the second half of the school year for these kids. Beverly coming in winless, and Marblehead on the other end of the spectrum hasn't lost a game. So we'll discuss this in our pregame with Phil Stacey and also with the coaches coming right up. Marblehead coming in with a record of 5-0-0, and Beverly is at 0-3-2. They are 0-1-1 in the league, whereas Marblehead in the league is at 2-0. Great start for Marblehead. A couple of chinks in the armor maybe, according to Coach Jackson, but they're looking strong right now. And Beverly really wanting to get on the board. They played very well, but they want to get that first win under their belts. We will take a quick break and come back with both coaches, then we'll have this afternoon's game coming right up on MSO News Sports. Once again, it is Marblehead at Beverly right here on MSO. So stay with us.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
We're back before the game today with Marblehead coach Bob Jackson. And coach, 5-0, not bad.
I'll take it. Anytime I think you start 5-0, you always enjoy that. So we still have a long ways to go. Today will be a good challenge for us, too.
We've had some challenges up to this point. A couple of tough games, most notably the most recent game against Gloucester. I remember the Danvers game was a tough one. How do you assess those games?
We're still trying to get the chemistry together. I think one of the things we have to do is we have to continue playing for 45 minutes. We've kind of taken our foot off the gas pedal a couple times, and it's come back to haunt us. But, you know, it's a good learning curve, so it's a lot easier making corrections when you're 5-0 than being 3-2 or 2-3.
Is there an ordinary letdown at the Christmas season?
I think so. You know, for the young kids, you know, you got to remember most of these young players out there are 14 to 18 years of age, and it's a week away. They like to do things. They're typical teenagers. So to answer your question, yeah. Have some of the practices been ugly? Yes.
Oh, ugly practices. All right. Okay, so what's the strength of the team so far, Bob? What do you like?
I like the forwards. I think our seniors, especially our red line of Braden Haley, Timmy Kalinowski, and Drew Kofi has stepped right in, and I think they've really gelled. It's been nice to watch. They've done a real good job on the power play. And then our green, our maroon units are starting to really play a little bit more. So we've been stressing to get scoring out of all three lines, and that's what we're going to try to attempt to do as we move forward.
Beverly with a strange record, but a very young team. How do you see these guys?
You know what? Justin's a great coach. Beverly's not going to quit. I know that they'll be ready for us today. They're going to come out and try to prove something about, you know, our game that we played them last week. They didn't like losing 6-1. I know they don't. That's just the way the Beverly players are. So I'm expecting a real good challenge today, and I'm hoping that we can meet the challenge of what Beverly's bringing to the table.
Give me the first five guys plus goalie you're going to put on the ice tonight.
It'll be our red line of Haley, Kofi, and Kalinowski with Danny Ginesco and P.J. Roy and the defense. And then in goal will be Ronan Cunningham.
Okay, and next week back to a regular schedule, two or three games?
I think we have Peabody on Wednesday and then maybe Salem on Saturday. So we get back into our Wednesday-Saturday
routine.
Thanks,
Coach. So good luck and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, and thank you for everything you do for us.
Sure. That's Marblehead Coach Bob Jackson with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.
The pregame show is brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
We're back now with Beverly coach Justin Shares. And coach, not the start you're looking for, but again, a young team and putting it all together.
Yeah, there's been improvements. Our last game out against Shawshim, we played really well and executed our systems the way we like. And it was a step in the right direction. So we're hoping to build off of that going forward.
What's it like practicing during the time off with the kids?
It's fun. It's fun. We get a couple hours extra. Normally, we only have an hour a night, so we had some extra time, and we were able to do some fun stuff, some scrimmage and some three-on-three, and just work more on the special team stuff. So it's good.
All right, the record is not what you want, but a couple of ties and a couple of very close games. What's the strength of your team so far?
The strength has been the senior leadership. We only have a small group of seniors, there's six of them, but they've done a good job bringing the young kids together and kind of showing them the way and how things work once you get to the high school level. So we're looking forward to hopefully building that relationship as the season moves on.
Best learning curve for you guys so far, what game would that be?
I'd say Saugus, actually. Our first game of the year, we were up 3-1 going into the period, carrying the play, and let them right back in it early. And you know, it's just important to show the kids that you know you got to play 45 minutes of hockey to finish at this level. So
was that a similar thing with the Danvers game? Because we did the Danvers game, you guys played very well, and it was in question right till the end there.
It was similar, you know, except for the fact that in Danvers we came out the first 5 minutes, and you know they kind of shell shocked mm-hmm. us, and I was really happy with the way the game ended. The last 40 minutes, I thought we played really well and we hung tough. When you're down 3-0 that early, it can very easily go the wrong way. That could have been a snowball effect. But the kids battled back.
And, you guys were wild.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was like a different team. So we showed them that on the film, and, you know, that's what we're looking for. We need the second period of Danvers every period we're out on the ice, you know.
All right, what do you say about Marblehead that, you know, everybody, they're 5-0?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're strong. They're a juggernaut. They got a ton of skill, and that top line, Haley, Kalinowski, and Trophy, those guys are all legit players. So it's going to take a lot to slow them down. It's going to be a total team effort if we can do our thing.
And you can pronounce the names right. I can't. Okay. Tell me about your starting five and your goalie.
Our starting five will be Ross Wall on left wing, Timmy McCarthy at center, Hunter Spencer on the right, and then Connor and Sean Hanlon on D. The starting goalie will be Troy Doyle. He's a sophomore. He started every game for us so far. And they're a good group. We got all three of our captains. You know, two of them are forwards, one on D. And then, you know, we stack up that line, and hopefully they'll match up well with that big line from Marblehead.
So, Coach, thanks a lot. Good luck.
All right, thanks, Rick.
That's Beverly Coach Justin Shears with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to RotaryDreams.org.
Now, that's the way I like it. That's the way the national anthem, that's how I was taught it was supposed to be played.
How's that? Nice and...
90 seconds, you know, like a march, get it done, and that's the way it's supposed to be done, according to the man who wrote it, or at least that's what a music teacher once told me. But anyway, here we go,
Phil. You don't
need
the 2.5-minute soul version.
No, I don't. I'm sorry. A lot of people do like it, and, you know, sad that Natalie Cole died. I know she was a wonderful soul singer as well. But we're back. And Phil, 5-0 Marblehead, scoring, they're a scoring machine. First line, 30 points already in the first five games. Yeah. On the other end of the spectrum, Beverly trying to get the puck in the net any way they can.
And you know what's funny? I look at this Beverly team, and there's talent there. I'm not saying they have Marblehead talent. They don't. You know, let's not confuse those two things. But there's definitely some talent on the up front. I like the way Timmy McCarthy plays, flanked by the two seniors and Spencer and Wall. They're just not having any puck luck, whereas Marblehead is making its own breaks and cashed in on them. They have tremendous speed. They cause problems for other teams' defensemen, and that's when they're most lethal, when other teams make mistakes.
Beverly on the attack right off the faceoff as they head into the Marblehead end, down to our right. Goal in goal for the Beverly Panthers is Troy Doyle to our left, and down to our right is Ronan Cunningham. In goal for Marblehead. Headers trying to get it out of the zone, but Beverly keeping it in at the moment. They've got their front line of Ross Wall, big number 16 out there, trying to keep it in. But it comes back to the blue line of Beverly. Finally taken away by Braden Haley, one of the leading scorers on the team. Fires it around the boards in the Beverly end. Panthers try to clear it. Hamlin goes back to the point, shot wide. And I'm pretty sure that was Janeshko out there. We'll get the number in a minute.
Yep.
Puck's in the left-hand corner, and Beverly will bring it. Oh, intercepted. Turnover. Shot. Save. Back to the line it comes, kept in by Aiden Gillis. Big defenseman fires it, and we're going to have it a stoppage in play as the goalie being tested here early. Troy Doyle being forced to make a save or two.
Big defenseman Aiden Gillis, and he's only a sophomore.
He's big.
You may remember his brother Liam was also a big player for the Headers, also like his brother Aiden on the football team as well, and he's a difference maker with that kind of size and skating ability.
You know, there's a shot right off the faceoff by Andrew McGurran that goes wide. Still in the Beverly end. We've seen this a lot so far by Marblehead in this early part of the season. Piccarello keeping it in, and Gillis closing from his left defensive position, fighting for the puck down low. Getting some help with Piccarello, covering up the point for him, who takes it. Still keeps it in and fires it diagonally right wing side. Goes down low to McGurran. Drops it back, but it's intercepted by the Panthers. Pisa can't clear it out. Comes back to the defense of Beverly at the goal line extended. Marblehead just all over Beverly right now, keeping it in the zone.
Real big hit there by McGurran along the boards to keep the puck in that zone.
And he's a big guy as well.
Yeah.
And
he really...
Just out hustling everybody right now.
Yeah, he really laid the thunder there. On 17 for Beverly. 17 for Beverly. I don't can't find my sheet here.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Luke Sam.
There we go. Paul Sanferi. Luke Sanferi, my man Luke. Sorry,
all
Luke.
Right, all right. It's cleared in on the Marblehead end. Finally, no icing as Cunningham gets it right up ahead. Comes back the other side. No icing all the way back into the Beverly zone. Playing a little ping pong here. Back to the blue line. Beverly end. Shot. Weak shot from the point. Save is made and. We'll have a face-off.
Smart play by Doyle there to cover up, give his team a chance to regroup, take a breather, get that next line out there. See, the problem I feel like it could hurt Beverly today is they run 1-2 a lot. First line, second line, first line, second line. Third line once in a while, whereas Marblehead runs 3 pretty consistently. So
third line out there at the moment for Beverly, yeah. And that makes a difference when you can, and you have that luxury of 3 lines that play regularly.
That's right. And, you know, in a smaller rink like this, it's tight. It's, you know, if Marblehead's coming to thump as well, that's just going to make life difficult for the Beverly skaters.
Once again, Beverly being hemmed in by Marblehead, just throwing it all around the end. Hanlon, John Hanlon, comes back to the line, but kept in at the right point. Kind of easily there by Duncan Leggett. Comes over to the left point this time. Marblehead keeping it in, fighting for the puck, comes back out to center ice. Leggett picks it up. Have a delayed offside as the headers change on the fly.
And here comes that first line again, the Kalinowski, Haley, and...
And they can fly.
Yeah, they absolutely can.
So Marblehead controls the puck. P.J. Roy, another big defensive, gets it ahead to Joffe over the line. Fires it wide, goes in the left wing corner. No score. First 3 minutes of play here in the game. And we have a penalty coming up,
yeah.
I think, on Marblehead.
It looks like we're going to have a hooking call.
Yeah. So Joffe goes to the penalty box. And this is the first liner, Drew Joffe, and he's got a bunch of points with 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points on the season, but he's flanked by Kalinowski and Haley, who have 15 apiece.
Now, what's funny is that Drew and his brother Sam almost wound up wearing the orange and black this year. They were living for Beverly in a time this summer before moving over to Marblehead.
Oh,
family moved to Marblehead.
Really?
That is true, yeah.
came from
prep school, you know, where they were last year. And Drew actually is already ticketed to the University of Vermont on a lacrosse scholarship. Excellent player.
Wow. So Beverly has a chance now with a power play. They're about 20 seconds into it. Kind of ragged play in the Marblehead end. And, of course, the headers clear it back out to center ice. Now we have another whistle. Somebody lost a helmet. We have another penalty. We do.
Yeah, we do.
This is on Beverly. So the Beverly penalty, I didn't get the number. I think it was 17, Semperi.
He was, that's right. He's sent off.
And this comes at, what, 3:47?
Nope, actually, that's going to be a, is this a 5-on-3? I see 2 headers in the box over there and 5 Beverly skaters on the ice.
No, something's wrong because we do have a penalty. There's a Beverly guy in the penalty box here.
But there's 5 skaters on the ice. So
there is.
Be
it's
matching.
5-on-3. Yep, much to be matching.
No, 5-on-4, matching penalties. A couple of matching penalties. Yeah,
okay,
so same old.
All right, I'm confused. What do we have? 1-2.
Matching penalties.
5-on-4. All right,
yep.
So I didn't get the Marblehead penalty. All right, so it is 50 seconds remaining in the man advantage then for Beverly. And they don't have any pressure on at yet. Sean Hanlon back to pick it up. One of the captains for Beverly clears it all the way into the Marblehead end, and that's icing.
And that's
mercy.
Yes, that was Kalinowski and Haley doing some great forechecking for Marblehead. They're causing pressure and really forcing Beverly to not intentionally ice the puck, but they didn't. So now the faceoff is going to be in the Panther end with 36 seconds left on the man advantage.
All right, so it's to the left of goaltender Doyle, and it's controlled by Marblehead, weak backhander, put near the goal. Taken by Cloutman, sends it around, gets it up ahead and out of the zone finally. Intercepted by the headers at center ice, but collected once again by Hanlon. He shoots, backhander goes wide. Sean Hanlon up on the attack. As Beverly trying to muster some offense here, Cloutman helping out on defense as well. Ross Wall, big left winger, is back, the only guy back on defense. He's back on the point by himself as the play is behind the Beverly cage. Check at the Marblehead cage. Comes back to the left point, center point. Wall tries to head man it ahead. Intercepted nicely.
That pass was too soft.
Yeah, by McGurran. He intercepted easily and cleared it.
Too soft to pass there.
But the penalty is over, so it'll be icing against Marblehead. Again, no score. So the power play advantage is over.
And no shots on goal. You had the Hanlon bid that went in wide,
yeah,
but nothing really sustained as far as offensive pressure for the Panthers there.
Kotro Pisa-Munzing out there on offense in the Marblehead end. Face-off will be Drew Joffe, who wins the face-off, draws it back to P.J. Roy around the net, or check it to Ridge Driscoll. Driscoll looking to bring it out. Comes across the line. It is trophy with it on the left wing side to Braden Haley, and that just kind of weakly goes in on goal and held on to.
You got to watch it whenever Braden's got the puck on his stick. Leading goal scorer in the league as a sophomore last year. I'm sure he had some prep schools wooing his services in the off season, but he, you know, for the good of North Shore hockey,
yes,
fans,
yes,
came back.
Keep him in
for
the
his
public.
Yeah, exactly.
Please. Okay, Chofi wins the faceoff, draws it back to Tim Kalinowski, who fires it wide, and that leaves Wall bringing it out for Beverly. Crossing the line is Hunter Spencer, comes back to the sideboards, left side, kept in at the left point, weak backhander, doesn't get through, and the headers will clear it. Haley, a junior, left wing side, left-hand shot, circle left, puts the brakes on. Still with it, stick handling along the boards, drops it back to Janeshko. He loses it, and it comes out to center ice. Spencer fighting for the puck, can't come up with it. He does, and it goes harmlessly behind the cage this time in the Marblehead end. So Hunter Spencer, with some good forechecking, doesn't result in a scoring chance, but it does keep the puck down on the other end.
You know, that was a nice play down this other end here, Rick, by Sean Hanlon forcing Haley to the outside, which is what you want to do. You don't want him cutting towards the net where he can really make things happen.
And here he comes, Braden Haley across the line, but it's offside as he tripped up, falls heavily, no damage.
You know, Marblehead's carried the play. They've got the only two shots on goal so far. Beverly, nothing on net yet. I wouldn't go so far as to say the ice has been tilted, but certainly Marblehead has carried the majority of the play.
But I think Beverly's done a pretty good job in the passing lanes.
They have.
Clogged it up pretty well so far. It, you know, and Marblehead, again, 5-0 start, and they have been pumping home goals five per game on average so far. And the Panthers have, I believe, a total of 9 goals for the season.
That's
in five
correct.
Games.
Yes.
So they need to get something going here. So there's a scrum in the Beverly end for the puck, finally taken away by the Panthers. Get it out to center ice, but the pass is too far ahead for Pisa. Play is in the neutral zone at the moment. Panthers trying to get it going on offense. Nothing doing. Still at the line. Finally. Still a center, I should say, and it's cleared in to the zone by Semperi. But the headers bring it right back. Nifty move. Who is that? Shot goes wide.
That Bridge Driscoll.
Yeah, what a move.
Mercy.
Good stick handling, but he was offside at the line.
Now, of course, these two teams played a week ago today, day after Christmas, in the first round of the Cape Ann Savings Bank Tournament down at Talbot Rink in Gloucester. Marblehead won that game going away 6-1. You can tell that Beverly is trying to avoid that happening again. You know, as you said, clogging up the passing lane, slowing the game down, mm-hmm. kind of waiting for their opportunities as opposed to playing reckless hockey that would lead to odd man rushes the other way.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think they have played very disciplined so far. Chance now as they're in the zone. Centering pass. Shot goes wide. Excellent setup that time.
Wow, great D'Amato. Opportunity for
yep.
D'Amato, yeah.
D'Amato had the open net, fired it just wide. And Marblehead will get it out of the zone. McGurran with it on that right wing side. Looking to make a play over to Colin Daly. Piccarello drops it. Well, he's still fighting for it. And I got a 22 on my program here. Got to find out who that is.
Right. Marblehead?
Yeah. I should know.
That would be Christian Henniger.
Okay.
Defenseman, yep.
All right, so it's cleared back into the Beverly end by McGurran. And Panthers, two men down there with two Marblehead guys fighting in the left wing corner. Offensive zone, no penalty as one of the headers is tripped up. McCarthy, Tim McCarthy, fires it all the way around the boards looking for Ross Wall, and he is able to get it ahead to a teammate and out of the zone. McCarthy trying to come up with it. There's a steal. Centering pass to McCarthy, can't come up with it. Fires it wide, right wing side. Wall looking for it, comes back to the center point in the slot, and Beverly just can't quite convert. Hunter Spencer.
Waited a half second too long that a shot. Allowed the defenseman to get down and block it.
Nice passing, though, by that line.
Yeah.
And here
I'd
come
almost
the hitters.
Like to see them be a little more selfish, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it could be. So across the line is Janeshko, and he is a force all over the ice.
Two nice saves there, though, by Doyle, back-to-back.
Another trip on a Marblehead player not called. That one looked pretty blatant.
Including the rebound on Kalinowski.
So Doyle's kept him, Marblehead off the scoreboard. Panthers, Carroll sends it in. And Marblehead forms it up as Beverly changes up. Goes into an empty right wing corner, and that will be offside. Janeshko just fired it in before he got to the line.
Well, I think you made note earlier, Rick, that we had seen Beverly and Damas play a couple of weeks ago, and of course, Damas jumped out to that very quick 3-0 lead. We wondered if they'd pull Doyle, and from that point on, he played terrific. I saw him here the other day against Shawshin. You know, a game Beverly probably should have won. It was a 1-1 tie, but through no fault of Troy's, he played very well in that game as well. So I think he's finding his footing in the crease and getting comfortable playing every minute of every game. And so far today, he's doing what he can.
Chris Henlon playing a good defense for Beverly, keeping it in the zone on a nice play, but Marblehead will come out with it. We have a penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah, penalty coming up with 5:39 left to go. First period, no score.
Not sure if
it's a
penalty.
No, it's not a penalty.
Offside.
Might have been a half. Yeah. I guess offside.
I think Beverly was offside.
Yeah, Beverly offside. So it's just outside the Marblehead line. D'Amato wins the faceoff, but naturally the headers are going to steal it. Andrew McGurran fires down to that right wing side, leaves it for a teammate. Another drop pass, closing from the right point as Janeshko leaves it on the other side to Gillis. He shoots
front,
it wide.
Hit a skate out front, I think.
And we do have a penalty coming up. Back to the right point. Shot doesn't get through, and there's the penalty call.
Yeah, there's a hook and call on Beverly.
Second penalty against the Panthers. This comes at 9:43.
Let's see who's going to be enjoying some time by himself here.
And who is it?
17 for the Panthers, heading in there.
That would be Samperi.
So they'll be down a defenseman. And this Marblehead power play is very dangerous.
And the headers control. They are fighting for the puck behind the cage. Right wing shot. Save. Oh, nice save. And Panthers wave on it. Can't clear it. Comes back to the line. Roy keeps it in. Sends it into the right wing corner. And midway in the zone, closing from the circle. Bodies flying all over the place. Another penalty on Beverly. Oh, that's a tough one. That's not a good one to take.
No, that's a...
Oh, wait.
A bad cross check to take. Yep.
Yeah, and I think it's on Beverly.
It is. Yep.
Yep.
And for a Marblehead power play, it's clicking at about 35%. That's not what you want to hear. And that's the captain, Sean Hanlon, heading to the box.
Yep, he's a big guy in defense.
Yep, he certainly
that hurts.
Is. And you can see why, you know, that's forced to happen sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they're buzzing around that net. Oh, they have 138 up there. I don't think that's right, but they're going to have... 68 seconds of two-man advantage.
Right. And the Panthers can't clear it right off the bat. It's kept in by Kalinowski on that right wing side. He's in circle right. Comes across left back to center point. Back to the left circle. And comes back out to Roy at center. Center point, I should say. Goes to the right side to Chofi. Gets it to Kalinowski. Backtracks. They're just circling and running the wheel, if you will.
Yep,
DJ Roy. Fires it down to the left side, centering pass, circle right, shot, rebound, save, and score.
No, they're going to call it.
Yeah, they're going to call it dead.
That was an awfully quick whistle.
It was.
Very quick whistle.
There were three headers right around the net.
Yep.
The passing was dizzying.
And I think that Marblehead may have been stiff there a little bit. I think that puck was still loose.
So we have... I believe 60 seconds left on the two-man advantage.
Yes.
38 seconds left in the one-man advantage. So, here we go. Roy going between the circles. Goes left to Haley. Tees it up. Hit the post, Braden Haley. You could hear it all the way back here. Goes into the right side. Centering pass. Haley on it. Loose puck. Crease goes behind the cage. Headers all over it on a 5-on-3. 17 seconds left in the two-man advantage. Kalinowski tries to head to the net. He's bumped by Kloutman, who's trying to get him off the puck. Kalinowski gives it over to Haley. He's circling the cage. Comes back to Roy, left side.
Simperi's hopping out of the box, and now it's 5-on-4.
5-on-4. Shot, score.
There you go. Tipped by Kalinowski out front.
Yep. Braden Haley with the shot. Marblehead leads 1-0.
So they get the power play goal, 11-18. And that was just a matter of patience, you know. I mean, obviously you'd like to score 5-on-3 so you'd have another advantage, but they get the power play goal, shot from the half wall out front, tipped perfectly by Kalinowski, went right through Doyle's pads. All this pressure finally results in a Marblehead goal. 1-0 headers.
That was like trying to stop high tide coming in at midnight, man.
Yeah.
Just forget about it. And just a 5-on-3, what are you going to do? And Marblehead just kept running that wheel, passing so crisply. And they lead 1-0. So let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, penalty still to be served by a Beverly player, but we're both teams at full strength with the 5-on-5. 3:33 left to go, 1-0, Marblehead. There you go, Kalinowski from Haley. And for Kalinowski, his 8th of the season leading the team. 11 points now for Haley and 16 points for Kalinowski. Headers, Fan at center ice, and Wall tries to get it ahead. Trying to make a play to Munzing, but it comes back in the other end. Dropping back is Sam Perry trying to get it ahead to a teammate, but can't. And he's getting some help from Chris Hamlin, who's still with it, looking for a winger over to Pisa. But he's hemmed in. Two guys up along the boards. Comes back to the right point, kept in by Marblehead. The shot goes wide. Long-range shot by Janeshko. Big hit at the line. Players falling all over the place. Who's got it? Beverly has it. Still in their own end, though.
That was Gillis and Quattro for Beverly. A little bit of a collision there.
Yeah, puck just kind of bouncing between the blue lines at the moment. Cleared in on goaltender Cunningham along the ice, makes a save, and they blow the whistle. 2:21 left to go in the first period. Kalinowski, the only goal of the game. Spirited first quarter, first period. I get confused, you know. I go with Bill to the basketball games, and then here we are in hockey.
You do a game last night?
No.
What am I thinking?
You were at the game, weren't you?
I was at the game.
We got to talk about that when we get a chance here.
Not much to talk about.
Well, it's a spectacle.
Yeah, that's
the only disappointment
true.
Was the Bruins. You
the only
know.
Disappointment was when they dropped the puck. Yeah.
I know. It was brutal to watch on television, I'm telling you.
You know, that that overhead angle looked to be a little
bit
confusing.
It was awful. Yeah. That moving camera on the wire, I couldn't stand it. You get seasick.
I could watch it, you know, from up in where I was, and I was thinking to myself, oh, that would not be a great angle
to watch it from. Didn't like that at all, and couldn't watch it. They need the stationary cameras for that stuff once in a while. All right, here comes Beverly on the attack, down by a goal. Across the line, centering pass goes off the goaltender as it goes wide. McCarthy with a good bid that time, trying to pass it, I think, and it went off the pads of the goalie. So they get one good opportunity, does Beverly, and Marblehead clears it with 1.5 left to go in the first period.
Yeah, I had said earlier in the broadcast, I like McCarthy. I think he's a good player. You know, you give him a little more time and he grows a little bit, he's going to be a good ball player down here.
Yep. That first line of Marblehead has got so much speed.
Oh, yeah.
Jeepers, they can fly.
Unparalleled top line in the conference. No one even close.
So, on the right wing side, it is Janeshko, who's also pretty fast on defense, plays a lot of offense, trying to come back for the puck. Can't, and it's cleared into the Marblehead end by Ross Wall. Big, lanky left winger.
To give you an idea of his versatility, Rick, he moved back the defense last year when the need arose for Marblehead. Moved up front, I should say, to play like a second-line center, and has slid back to defense this year.
For Janeshko.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's got the skills. Uh-oh, almost Fan, almost brought out of the zone by the headers. Beverly keeping it in with 35 seconds left. Not getting any shots off, but they are keeping it in the zone, preventing the breakout. Yeah. But here comes Janeshko, talking about a breakout, fires it right-wing side to Kalinowski. He's dumped by Wall, gets it back out to center ice. 22 seconds left in the period. Once again, Janeshko up along the line, cruising from right to left. He'll shoot it in deep, nobody home for Marblehead as the Panthers. Oh, and Janeshko just pummels one of the Beverly players, Spencer, and keeps it in the zone for the headers. 7 seconds left in the period, clock winding down, comes to the line, and it's cleared out of the zone, and that will end the first period. So an interesting first period to say the least. We'll come back and wrap this one up, talk a little bit about the Winter Classic with Salem News sports editor Phil Stacey. But meantime, after one period of play here at the Bork Arena at Endicott College in Beverly, it's Marblehead 1 and Beverly 0.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite, eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
All right, we're back between periods and after one at the Raymond Bork Arena at Endicott College. It is Marblehead 1. And Beverly, nothing. And I'm remiss in saying Happy New Year because it feels like we've been working already. It seems like we've, you know, like we're weeks into the new year. But yeah. Yesterday was January 1. And
it was.
Phil Stacey, Salem News Sports Editor. I saw your tweets coming out of Foxborough, and that was some spectacle.
That was. You know, I mean, like that flyover they had during the anthem was unbelievable. That came right over my head.
You were down there on the ice, right behind the boards?
No. I was in the press box.
Okay, I couldn't tell when I shot. Yep.
But, you know, what I liked was I went out into the stands before the game because I knew some people were going to be there. In fact, Coach Shares was there, Beverly Coach Shares, and Mike Bacuzzi, the goalie coach for Beverly. They had season tickets. They were there with their wives. So went and visited them. Danvers coach Steve Baldessari was there with some of his younger players, his Top Gun kids. So I met those guys. And you know what? Hey, I hate the Canadians as much as anybody, maybe more than most people. I despise them. But, you know, things worked out pretty well as far as, you know, intermingling with the fans. There were, you know, I would say maybe 20% Canadians fans there.
Yeah.
A lot of Bruins fans, but there wasn't any, you know, stupid stuff or anything like that. I think it was a festive atmosphere and, you know, the game, if you're a Bruins fan anyway, wasn't that great.
They looked like they were skating in sand. Montreal was so much quicker.
You know, what I thought was very telling, and this isn't like I have access that other people don't, but, you know, I was in the locker room afterwards, and someone, you know, asked Torey Krug, the Bruins defenseman, why they started off so slow, and he said, well, you know, it's like we weren't ready to play and this and that. So then the obvious follow-up question was asked, why weren't you ready to play in this game? Of all games,
right.
You know, this isn't November 6th in Arizona, right. You know, kind of thing.
Yeah, this is a Super Bowl type venue.
And he didn't have an answer. And that's really how the Bruins played yesterday. They just were not ready, and Montreal was. And like I said, I hate Montreal, but you got to give them credit. Oh. I mean, they were ready to go.
The thing is, Phil, they that's how you play the game. They play the game right. They always have. And that's what's so disturbing, because it goes on and on and on and on.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're arrogant, and we can't stand it. But
yes.
But they do play the game right.
Well, even to the fact that after the game, you know, the Montreal captain, Max Pacioretty, says, well, we play the game the right way. We're taught to play the right way. We don't do that.
Yeah, we don't do any, we don't do any diving.
Yeah, no, okay. right, exactly. You know, the Olympic team there. Now, if I can just get back to this game for a minute, this is interesting. Bob Jackson, whose team is right in front of us, you know, when the game's going on the bench here, he is out.
It is interesting.
I
noticed that, yes.
While his team and the assistants are in the room, I am assuming that they're not happy that they only have one goal on the board. They had all kinds of pressure, but there were a lot of breakdowns or things that didn't work out in the way that they would like them to offensively. I'm sure things that they work on were not as crisp, as clean, as executed as they would like. So he's out here maybe just taking a little time away from them. Interesting. It's good, veteran coach.
Good teaching technique.
Knows exactly. Yep. That's a perfect way to put it.
No question. Yes. And sometimes that's a lot better than ranting and raving.
Sure. And I mean, Nelly's been around for so many years that he knows, you know, Nelly being Bob Jackson, his nickname, has been around for so many years and can read the pulse of a team or maybe what they need for a particular 10-minute intermission. And maybe they need to hear it from the younger guys, the younger assistant coaches.
Well, you know, he's striving for perfection. I mean, they have excellence, and I think they're striving now for perfection. And you know, he mentioned before the game, he just sometimes the team lets up. They don't really put the hammer down. But
well, especially since they played them already, and beat them, you know, fairly easily. 5-goal game is not a tight one by any stretch. So, you know, hey. You and I were, it doesn't seem like it, but 16 and 17 one time, and you think you know everything, and you think, yeah, I don't need to listen to coach. We'll smoke these guys, you know, and it doesn't work that way.
No, and you know,
I'm ready to play.
One thing that bothers me, Phil, is, I'm not a fan of 24-hour talk sports radio, and I'm not really a fan of any 24-hour talk radio, because so often it boils down to disc jockeys talking about things off the top of their head.
Right.
And one thing that's different about a newspaper guy that I really respect as having read for so many years about sports and news, and you're in the trenches. You talk to the kids, you talk to the coaches, you talk to the players, and that makes a hell of a lot of difference.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't ever want to pretend to be something I'm not. You know, I wouldn't go off and say I'm an expert on, you know, Cape Ann League swimming or something like that. But, you know, when it comes to this stuff, yeah, I'm around. I know not only the coaches and the players, but I know the history and the teams. And
but where I was going with this was that kids sometimes listen to that stuff. They listen to it. They listen to the nonsense.
Yeah.
And then they begin to think that they're experts.
Yeah.
You know, because, oh, I'm a varsity hockey player, you know. So, yeah, well you are, but hello, you know.
But, you know, not to go all old man here, but in this day and age, I mean, my God, with social media the way it is, and you can interact with any kid on... You know, you can be in Gloucester and interact with a kid from Winthrop in a nanosecond, and, you know, this is, you did this, and we're going to do this to you and that. I mean, it's just, you know.
What do you got today? You got some more games coming up.
We do, yeah. 8 o'clock. Now, there's going to be something here at 6, I would think. I don't know what it is. Maybe, you know, it's a practice or a youth game or something, but there's a nice game tonight. You may remember Mike Clifford was a longtime assistant coach in Danvers. Before that, he had coached in Peabody, and he passed away a few years ago. Mike Cliffy was a great guy. So now they hold a memorial game between Danvers and Peabody for him every year. This is the 5th annual Mike Clifford Memorial Game tonight, 8 o'clock right here. Peabody comes in at 2-2, but they got to be the favorites. They've only given up 4 goals all year. They're playing very, very well, stingy defensively. Danvers has played 2 more games but has the same 2-2 record with 2 ties. They've never lost one of these Clifford games, so they want to keep it going.
That should be something, yeah.
So it should be a really, really good game. I'm expecting a close 1 or 2 goal game there.
So you brought your lunch, and you're going to have to get you a chair here, I guess.
I don't have a chair, but I got my computer, and I got my
going to be here for the duration.
Prep work for next week, and I got my dinner. So, yeah, I'll...
You know, you mentioned Peabody and Danvers, and Winthrop, I think, also off to a pretty good start. How do you see the league shaping up early on?
Well, it's hard not to say that Marblehead is the team to beat. You know, they have the first line. They have a lot of depth. They have a solid defenseman. you know, if there's any question, it might be in goal, but it seems like they do a really nice job of protecting, whether it's Ronan Cunningham, who we see today, or Josh Tassinari, the converted defenseman. I think until somebody can find a way to shut them down offensively, they're going to be the team to beat. I think Winthrop is always dangerous just because of the style that they play. It's not exciting. They will bore you to death if you allow them to, and that's what they want. They want to lull you into a sense of comfort or boredom or whatever you want to call it, and that's when they strike. So I don't think you can ever count Winthrop out yet. They're the one team in the league I haven't seen so far in the early going, so I do want to see them. And I think Peabody is there to make a little bit of noise, too. A veteran group, especially on defense, guys like Aaron Dolan and Nolan Shaw and Devin Doucette and Pat McCarthy, kids like that. And if they can get a little bit of scoring, their first line's been going great, the Merriman, Gillen, and Brewster line. If they can find some other kids, Ethan LeBlanc or some of those guys on the second line to step up, they'll be in good shape. So I see it as kind of a three-team race this year. That's not to say Danvers couldn't step up and make something happen, but I think at least for right now, we're looking at those three teams with Marblehead, the team that everybody's chasing.
All right, and in this game, it is 1-0. All the coaches for Marblehead are back into the bench area. Teams have not yet come back onto the ice. It's a long time between periods here. They take a little bit longer resurfacing this ice.
I think it's 13 minutes.
Than in most rinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good spell.
And you know, I did hear, speaking of, you know, we're here at Endicott, I heard, now what a momentous victory this would be for the program and the school, that they went over to Salem State today and beat the Vikings.
No way, really?
In men's hockey.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
You know, the first-year varsity program beating the established powerhouse. I mean,
you think Coach Jackson was upset. How do you think Coach O'Neill might be?
Yeah, I'm guessing he wouldn't be happy. Ooh. And considering it was the Vikings' own tournament. They were hosting their own class.
Well, congratulations, Endicott. Then they must have quite a team.
If my sources are correct, and that's what I heard,
All right.
So,
all right, we're just about ready to go. One goal in this game, Tim Kalinowski scoring for Marblehead. That came at 11:18 on a power play. Three penalties to Beverly in that first period, one to Marblehead. And the Headers are leading this one, as we mentioned, 1-0. We change sides. And the Headers, Ronan Cunningham will be defending the goal now down to our left. And for Beverly, Troy Doyle will just cruise on down to the net to our right. Beverly have their their cream jerseys, their off-white jerseys with the black trim. And Marblehead in all black. So we are ready to start, as it'll be McCarthy against Chofi at center ice. Pretty decent crowd, all four quadrants pretty much filled up here at the Bork Arena as the Headers win the faceoff, come right across the line, goes into the right wing corner. Chofi can't come up with it, as McCarthy does, and flips it back toward the line, but not out. Wheeling around is Kalinowski. He's going to head to the net, tries to stuff it home, can't. Wall has it for Beverly, gets it to the line. And it'll come out of the line. McCarthy will fire it in on the goal from outside the blue line, and it's covered up easily by Cunningham. Phil had 11-2, is that right, Phil?
That's
shots on
correct,
goal?
Yep.
Marblehead?
11-2 for the Headers.
All right, and Beverly just picks up a long-range shot on goal there, third of the game. So not much offense, really no offense for Beverly in the
first period. No.
But they played pretty well. Puck comes out of the zone, chased down by Janeshko, goes back in on the goalie, goes behind the net, circling the cage and trying to center it. Is Daly, Colin Daly, and
covered goes up in by
on,
Doyle.
Yeah, and he'll hold on. So the faceoff will be to the left of Doyle, I think. No? Where are they going to bring it? Outside the line? No, it's going to be the left of Doyle.
Yeah, just changing up lines here.
Marblehead offensive zone, right wing faceoff circle. Owen Piccarello, a senior, 6 feet, 173. So Marblehead's got size up front, too. Size and speed. Back to the point comes. Shot between the circles from long range. Gillis with the shot. Save along the ice by Doyle.
I think of the three games I've seen in the last couple of weeks, Doyle has been the most technically sound in this one. He's playing his position very well today.
Face off again to his left. And
quick looks like drop there. I'm going to have to redo that.
Yep, we'll do it again. Piccarello against Kutrow, I believe. No, it's McCarthy. I can't. No, it's Kutrow, number three. Face off, won by the headers, draws back, shot, score, and goal. We have a goal. Yep. On the doorstep. Looked like a trickled rebound, and it was right there and tucked home by Marblehead, 2-0.
You know, that puck was just loose. And
yeah. I have no idea.
Get to it. I want to say
Daly?
That was Colin Daly who scored that. Yep.
I think so. So Marblehead leads 2-0, 56 seconds into this period. We'll see who it is when the announcement comes on as we get ready to resume play. Marblehead now leading 2-0 very early on in the second period.
And that could be a bad sign for Beverly. Mm. They certainly didn't want to give up a goal early in the second period. Now their deficit's doubled. That much more work to do to get back into this one.
And again, Panthers having trouble scoring all season. They need to get something going. Some shots on goal certainly would help. So here come the hitters once again on the attack. First man down is Sean Hanlon for Beverly. Gets it over to a linemate or to a defensive partner. It is Daly with a goal. Don't hear any assists.
Well, there's an assist on that. I want to say it was Piccarello because he took the face off. And, you know, to my knowledge, nobody really got a stick on that puck until Daly knocked it home.
Yep, here comes Kalinowski. Weak shot, but he was looking for a lineman. He was looking for McCarthy, it looked like. And it's a save, and we have a whistle.
Well, you know what? Owen Piccarello is my man, so I'm giving him an assist on that play. All right?
Yeah, why not?
That's the power of the press at work right there.
Okay. The pen is mightier than the hockey stick.
Yeah.
All right, Kalinowski.
No one's going to remember what anybody announced here, but it'll live in perpetuity in the newspaper.
There's a pop-up that's handled nicely by Doyle, and he'll just hold it in his glove.
Okay, so if you're Beverly now, Rick, you have to stay resilient. Remember what your coach has told you in the locker room. Stick to the game plan. You can't start getting crazy because now it's a two-goal deficit instead of one.
Oh, there's a centering pass and ridden off nicely by the Beverly defense. Semperi stayed home and got it away from the goal, but finally cleared out of the Beverly end. P.J. Roy will be the first man back for Marblehead. It's not icing. Puck goes in toward the goaltender on the side of the net. Stick to side by Cunningham behind the cage. Beverly's Wall, you can tell by his size.
Yeah, Wall's working hard behind the net there.
Yep.
Wall along the wall.
Wall along the wall. I like that. Kalinowski has it, though, across the line, looking for Haley, turned right around by Wall. Headmans the puck to the right wing side, and McCarthy goes into the boards.
Yeah, they're going to get, is that Roy for a hook, I think, or Gillis? See, the problem there is Beverly could have had a semi-breakaway if he had noticed that McCarthy was heading up ice. A second earlier.
Yep.
He had his head down, skating through the neutral zone, didn't see him. Now, granted, Beverly will get a power play out of this, so it's not totally lost, but could have sent him McCarthy somewhat alone, at least on a semi-break, as I said. But they'll get the power play at 2:36 here.
Yep. Penalty on Marblehead. Second of the game. Back to the point. Center point. Shot. Save. And hung on to by Cunningham. Sean Hanlon with a good snapshot that time from the top of the circle. Glove save by Cunningham.
Well, and I like that Beverly has already equaled its shot total in the first period.
Yeah, they seem to have picked it up a little bit more here in the second period, finally. A couple of minutes in after giving up the early goal. Wall is at the right point. Shot goes behind the cage.
I think he got a stick on it, though, at first.
Oh, maybe, yeah, because, yeah, it looked like it had
directed it the other way.
Looked like he had it on there. Hunter Spencer drops it for Sean Hanlon, closing. Spencer covering up at the point. Comes back to the right point. Wall covering up. Along the boards it goes. Down into the right wing corner. Still in the Marblehead end.
See, some really good pressure here by Marblehead on the penalty kill.
Absolutely.
They don't give Beverly any room to operate. Suffocating, really.
Yep. Panthers keeping it in the zone, but they can't get a clear shot. And there's a shot from a bad angle hung on to by Cunningham. So the score,
cycle the puck.
Score remains 2-0. Sorry, Phil.
That's all right. No, I was saying the nice job by Beverly cycling the puck there, trying to make something happen. I think they're trying to get Cunningham to move in his net, trying to go side to side there, maybe try to catch him off an angle.
40 seconds left in the penalty. Marblehead breaks it out. They're a man short. Wall, however, back checking, trying to come up with a puck. Stolen away, though, by McGurran, who circles the cage. Backhander goes in on goal. Stick save and covered up by Doyle.
McGurn's a player that would probably be a top-line guy on just about any other team in this league. What a luxury it is to have a player like him on the second line.
27 seconds left in the penalty to Marblehead's P.J. Roy. And this faceoff will be to the right of Doyle this time. And it's Cottrell winning the faceoff, gets it behind the cage, and it'll be Sean Henlon wheeling it out of the zone. Long strides, backhanded to the right wing side, looking for Munzing. He loses it, and it's cleared by the headers. 11 minutes left to go in the period, 6 seconds left to go in the power play. Wall falls down all by himself behind the cage, lost an edge, but nobody on him. He's able to clear it easily to Hanlon, and it comes to center ice. Full strength for Marblehead. 2-0, Marblehead leading. We're at the Bork Arena. And we have an offside.
And Bob Jackson is not happy.
Official pointing at Coach Jackson. Too many men on the ice, maybe?
No, they...
What was that?
He felt as though there was a holding call there, but instead his guy gets called for the penalty instead. And I got to agree with him. I think they missed one there.
That's Nick Giovanni. I don't even think he was on the ice. Giovanni is going to the penalty box.
So maybe it was too many men, but Bentley got away with a holding call there.
Penalty comes at 4:19. Let's find out what the bozo it is. I don't know.
Well, you do make a good point there that he was not on the ice at the time of said infraction.
Strange. But we'll see what it is. They're not putting it up on the scoreboard. Oh, there it is. Well, they give it to Giovanni.
But you know what? I mean, he's the team's ace defenseman, and he wasn't out there yet, so.
Uh-huh. Well, anyway, Beverly has...
Could be a bench miner.
Yeah. Beverly has a man advantage again. They just had one, and I think it's incumbent on them to put some pressure on. They get a goal here, it would help, but Marblehead with a shorthanded attempt here. Braden Haley across the line, heads right to the cage, backhander, rebound,
two saves.
And it's cleared to the sideboards finally by Beverly Semperi. And he gets it ahead to Hunter Spencer, loses it at the line, picked up nicely by the headers. They're buzzing all over the place on this penalty kill. 53 seconds left. In the Beverly advantage, and the puck's been in their own end for most of the penalty.
Yeah, they really need to find a way to cut through this aggressiveness of Marbleheads and chip pucks in deep, set up something in the offensive end. I mean, I don't want to say it's an exercise in futility, but when you keep going back behind your own goal on the power play to get the puck, it's really defeating the entire purpose of having a man advantage.
And that's where they started from again.
Now this I like.
McCarthy.
You chip it in, you let Wall get it behind the wall.
Banged into the boards, left wing side. Three Beverly players down there now. Nobody back on defense. Look out. And it does come back out to center. But it is covered up nicely by Cloutman. Lone man back for Beverly. 9 seconds left in the penalty. Panthers clear it into the Marblehead end. Aiden Gillis.
Takeaway there by McCarthy.
And McCarthy fighting for the puck, and he gets it. The penalty is over. And the play is still in the Beverly end. McCarthy slides it along the boards, goes all the way around the cage, back to the left point. Altman can't keep it in. Banging along the boards, it is checked back into the Marblehead end. 8:51 left to go, second period, 2-0 Marblehead.
Got to be careful there. Cutrow came up a little bit high with an elbow on Roy. You don't want to put your team shorthanded when you're already trailing by two.
Yeah, getting a little chippy here. Semperi behind the line.
I don't think
his own line.
You know, a lot of these guys play football against each other, or lacrosse, or baseball. I don't think there's any love lost between these two schools. And, you know, personally, I love that stuff. I think it's great. It's good for the game, you know? I mean, it's what hockey is.
So the headers wheeling around in the Beverly end once again. Kept in at the line by Janeshko. Sends it down deep. Kalinowski overskates it. Janeshko closest between the circles. Wrist shot. Save. Pad save and cleared away and iced by Beverly.
That was actually blocked out front by, I want to say that is Zach Cloutman. Yeah, Zach Cloutman took it off the shins and didn't allow it to reach his goaltender. So
excellent
nice
defensive
job
play
by Zach.
Yes, indeed. Cleared away quickly by Beverly and it's iced. So the play will come back into the Beverly end. Down to our right. Again, good crowd. Beautiful weather outside.
37 degrees and sunny. That's the way it's supposed to be in January.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so the Panthers can't get it out, comes back to left point, skips over Marblehead defenseman. This will not be icing, and the headers will have to go track it down. Duncan Leggett out there on defense as Coach Jackson is getting everybody on the ice now. Play is at center. Nobody has it. Kind of hacked at and slapped around. Leggett gets it back to center ice. Still nobody controlling it. Everybody just, there's four guys on it inside the Beverly line, on the Marblehead line. Panthers come away with it finally and clear it into the zone. D'Amato sends it all the way into the right wing corner. Marblehead collects it, forms it, and brings it out. Here we go. Weaving across the line is Jacob Garfield, still with it, left corner, centering pass, slapped away by Wall, who was in the slot for Beverly. Panthers just able to clear it out of the zone. Comes out to center, shot by Beverly. Glove save as Panthers getting a weak shot. That was Munzing, couldn't get any mustard on it. It was gloved easily by Cunningham.
Ryan Munzing, a freshman who had his first varsity goal 3 days ago against Shawsheen. So congratulations to Ryan. And here's a trivia question for you. His brother,
Tim? No.
Sean, mm-hmm. was on the Beverly team for 4 years, defenseman. Part of that state championship team, never scored a varsity goal.
Oh, my.
So his brother's already got him one up in that category.
Shot along the ice on a big attempt by Marblehead coming on the attack. Daly with the shot.
Yeah, now nice he fights for the save.
Fights for the puck behind the goal. Gets some help. Oh, cleared away by Beverly, but right in front of the net. Goodness gracious. And finally, the Panthers' Kloutman is able to get it out. Foot race into the right wing corner offside. Or icing, sorry. Munzing couldn't quite catch up with it. So once again, the face-off in the Beverly end. So Marblehead controlling territorially and on the scoreboard 2-0. And funny, it's a comfortable 2-0 lead. I hate to say that, but it is.
Just well, it is only in the sense that Beverly really hasn't done anything
yeah.
that would make Marblehead, cautious. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
You know, really no sustained pressure.
And they need to get a good clear shot on goal, something that will pick the team up, get something going. They're doing okay. Now we've got a penalty. Holding?
I believe.
On Marblehead? Yeah, on P.J. Roy. Marblehead penalty, third in the period. This one's on P.J. Roy.
Now this is, I think, what is upsetting Coach Jackson. You know, I mean... You know, as you said, it's a 2-0 game, but you are in control. You're dictating the flow of play. You're really not giving up much defensively, but you're putting yourselves in precarious positions because of shorthanded situations.
Yeah.
You know, all it takes is one goal for Beverly, and all of a sudden, that changes momentum completely.
It goes behind the cage. McCarthy with it. Centering pass goes just wide. McCarthy collects it right wing side along the boards to Kloutman on the right. He's fighting... Hunter Spencer gets it, cleared back to the right point. Wall there, shot goes wide to the left. Nice shot by Wall.
Well, that's the other part of it. Beverly's going to put the puck on net.
Well, that would help. There's a deflection that goes wide. Wall shooting it from the point. This time he was at the left point. He's the only guy back on defense. That's got to be a little bit dangerous. Here we go. Breakout from Marblehead. All alone. And it is a save. Haley couldn't quite get it on goal. He was in alone. Tried to put the backhander on Doyle. He was equal to it.
I want to say that Doyle got that with his left skate.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
Yeah, I think he made that stop.
So McCarthy right back trying to center it. He's behind the cage with it for Beverly on the attack. Still in the power play with 28 seconds left to go. Missed opportunity for Braden Haley on a shorthanded bid. But no shots by Beverly as it's cleared out of the zone by Marblehead with 16 seconds left in the penalty. 5 left in the period. 2-0. Marblehead on top. Only goal of the period from Daly. Almost had another one. So here comes Beverly across the line. 5-on-5. No. 3 seconds left. Panthers can't put a shot on. As it was Chris Hanlon on the attack. He's fighting for the puck. Right wing corner. Get some help from Munzing. Penalty is over. Now it's full house for Marblehead. Still in the header zone.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, Beverly's had 4 power plays and 1 shot on goal.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oof.
That doesn't cut the mustard, so to speak.
No.
All right, so Marblehead clears it, and it'll be taken down in the zone by Samperi for Beverly. He sets it up, sends it back to his partner behind the cage. That's Sean Hanlon. And he skates it toward the line, but it's intercepted on a bad pass. Now he's got to fight for it. Marblehead cleared to the sideboard, still in the Beverly end. Cotro around the boards, goes all the way around for Munzing. He can't get it out. Kept in the left point. Shot doesn't get through. But Marblehead, looks like there's about 12 Marblehead players out there. There are only five. And there's a shot in the chest. Save. Comes back out to center ice. Beverly clearing it down, lumbering down that right wing side is Pisa. Fires it all the way around the cage. He's the first guy to get it, but Marblehead turns it right back around.
Looks like Owen Piccarello got cut under the chin here. He's getting some medical attention from the Beverly trainer, Shala Barenas, on the bench.
She's amazing. She's everywhere.
And she's the greatest person,
too. Oh, yeah. She's incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, Wall slides it through. This will be icing. 3:12 left to go.
Guessing that was a stick that caught him up, but you can see that he's bleeding, or we can.
Yeah.
From our vantage point.
Yeah, well, I watched her the other night at a basketball game, and she was all over the place.
Yep.
It's amazing.
And she could pass for a high school student.
First time I met her was this year. Bill and I went over and did an hour-long session with all the coaches.
I saw that. That was great.
Thank you, and she was fabulous. I learned so much. She and... there's another goal. Marblehead, Kalinowski, intercepting and scoring.
Well, that was a shot that I think was blocked initially. It went off a shin pad for Beverly, but it popped right out to Kalinowski in that near circle, and he put it by Doyle's six side before the goalie had time to react.
I love your eyesight. I can't see that stuff. That's good, really. Plus, I'm looking at my depth chart here sometimes, and all I see is the hack at it by Kalinowski, and it goes in. So Kalinowski with his second goal of the night. 3-0 now Marblehead. Goal coming at 11:57 of the second period.
There's an assist on that.
I guess we're not getting
who.
The assist, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay, so inside the 3-minute mark.
My guess would be Haley. I want to say he took that first shot, but, you know, don't hold me to it.
You get the score sheet afterwards?
Yeah.
The score sheet.
Yeah.
So we'll look for it in the paper on Monday. Well, does that go online, too,
yes.
Before that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'll have it in an hour or so.
All right, and we go to SalemNews.com.
That's it, yeah.
We will do that. Plus, Phil is tweeting it. There's a nice shot, just saved by Cunningham, and Marblehead brings it right back out of the zone again. On the attack, down the left wing side this time. Headers putting some pressure on. Beverly trying to come up with the puck, Wall fighting for it, and he finally gets it. Able to give it to Sean Hanlon, who sends it up, but not out. Kept in by the headers, just like a wall at that blue line. Shot, terrific save by Doyle that time. Flashed out the right arm on what looked to be a screenshot from the right circle. Beverly coming up with the puck finally, as it is cleared away out of the zone by Hanlon. P.J. Roy racing for the puck, and it's picked up by... Ridge Driscoll circles the cage, brings it all the way out of the zone. Pass too far ahead for Piccarello, and Beverly will bring it back. Hanlon on the attack, defenseman Sean Hanlon. He's been out there for a while. He's gassed. Sends it into an empty corner, and we have a penalty coming up for a cross check. Who's going off this time? Marblehead player again. Ridge Driscoll. Driscoll with the cross check, and this is at 13:41.
Yep. Well, better late than never. If you're Beverly, you do. The pup went in here again. If you can score before the end of the period, it's 3-1 going into the last 15 minutes. You have a little bit of life, a little glimmer of hope.
However, Marblehead clears the zone easily on the faceoff, and that'll send Sean Hanlon back to pick it up for the Panthers, forming it up with Wall on the left wing side. Drops it back for Hanlon. He fired ahead to the right wing side. It goes for Hunter Spencer. Puts the brakes on mid-zone right boards. Back to the center point. Kept in nicely by Hanlon. Sends it down low to the left side to
was that? That was Semperi.
Semperi, yep.
Cleared by Marblehead. 42 seconds left to go in the period. Once again, Hanlon will have to form it up behind his own cage. Forechecking is...
We see Owen Piccarello back on the ice. Penalty killing here, which is good to see.
McGurran bumping a Beverly player off the puck so it doesn't get into the zone. Hanlon will have to track it down into his own zone with just 20 seconds left in the period. And a three-goal lead for Marblehead. Panthers struggling to get out of their own zone tonight. All day long, really. Icing. And they're on the man advantage.
Yes.
9 seconds.
We'll have an offensive zone face-off with 9 seconds left. And here comes that Kalinowski-Haley line. Not what you want to see.
They are impressive, though, Phil. They really are.
They can play.
Yeah. So the Panthers hanging in there valiantly, but they just can't muster any offense. Desperately needing a goal. Not going to get it here in this period with 4 seconds left. They're hemmed into their own end with the man advantage. And that'll kill it. So there you go. Two down. And it's 3-0. Three up for Marblehead. 0-4 Beverly. After two, we'll take a break and come back and give you some stats on this one right now. Again, 3-0 from the Bork Arena here at Endicott College with Beverly trailing this one to the headers.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley destination restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. All right, the beauty of live radio, Phil. I love it. As Ronan Cunningham's grandfather was just up here making sure we knew that that was Cunningham in goal.
Yes.
Because apparently it's not the right number, but I just went by what Coach Jackson told me. So.
No, we knew it was Ronan. So, but you know what? That's good because that means people want to make sure that we have it right, and that's we strive for accuracy at all times.
I love it. And it ain't easy sometimes. In this, before we talk to Phil about some stuff coming up, only goal in the period. Actually, there were two goals.
Two goals.
Yep. As Daly, Colin Daly got one at 56 seconds, making it 2-0. And then Kalinowski, a second of the night for Marblehead at 11:57, making it 3-0. There were four Marblehead penalties in that period. Do you keep shots that period?
I did, yeah. 13-5 for Marblehead, which gives us a two-period total of 24-7.
And that's kind of the way the game's gone.
And, yeah, I mean, if you've been listening to us, you know that that's pretty spot on as far as how the pace of play has gone through 30 minutes.
Okay, Phil, what's your coverage area now for the Salem News? What communities do you cover?
We cover. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
We'll go through it here.
I'm ready.
Beverly, Salem, Danvers, Peabody, Marblehead, Swampscott, Topsfield, Boxford, Middleton, Ipswich, Hamilton, Wenham. What else? Nahant.
Wow.
Okay. You know, periphery Linfield, periphery Lynn, periphery... I don't know, you name it. Georgetown,
okay.
I guess.
So this time of year, I mean, in fall,
yes.
you got football as your main focus, but
yes.
you got a week between games, so you can filter people out as,
yes.
as necessary for features, for depth, in-depth stories or whatever.
Yep.
But during this time of year, there's something going on almost every night,
yes.
and you just said so many communities. So how do you make these assignments for people?
How does the big brain work?
That's right.
In other words, yeah. Well, my wife wouldn't call it a big brain, but how do I make it work?
The mainframe, how does
yeah.
that work?
Well, I'll show you. In fact, I have it with me here.
Okay.
You see this here? I know our listeners can't.
Yeah, we don't have our video camera, but that's
here's
cool.
Our,
okay.
Here's our schedule for the week,
yep.
so we know what's coming up next week.
Wow.
And these are all the games that we have.
Good grief, yep.
And we go through and we try to figure out who's going to cover what games.
Okay.
And what we can put in the paper each day.
Wow.
We know we have certain things like the columns that we do, the sports-specific columns that people really seem to like. I write the Blue Line Report on Wednesdays.
Love columns. Yes,
yes. Matt Williams does a girls' hockey column on Thursdays. We have Matt Jenkins in the paint, boys' basketball on Tuesdays. Gianna Dario writes bounce passes on Friday. So 4 days right there, we know that there are...
So everybody gets a column.
Everybody gets a column.
That's cool.
Yes.
That's really cool.
And, of course, Jean DePlacido writes her notes column on Saturday. So 5 out of the 6 days... We have a column to what we would call anchor the newspaper. You know, that's something that we can have as our focus every day. You know, a nice story with a photo, that kind of thing. And then we want to sprinkle in the games around that, as well as, you know, the roundups of all the stuff we don't get to, which obviously is many events we don't. We just try to pick what people like, what they're interested in, what they want to read about. And, you know, certainly there are great... wrestlers and swimmers and track and field kids, and we don't get to those events as much because the majority of the fans like their basketball and they like their hockey. And there's our friend Bobby Gilligan. Happy New Year, Bob.
Hey,
how
Coach.
Are you, pal?
Well, that's but that's also, you know, that's where you, the majority of the kids are also, you know.
Yes.
In those
it is, but you know what, like the other kids are great athletes too, the gymnasts, the skiers. And we want to do stories that can feature them as well.
So
it's a balance between everything.
All right. Now, you got people in the field, but you guys are also on the phones.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, I've...
And you got to have days off, and
yeah.
this one's sick, and that one's got, you know, pick up the kids or whatever. So everything's a balance of that.
So if a call comes in, it's really your coverage, but it comes into another reporter. Do sometimes you take each other's stuff and then pass it off and
yeah.
cover,
yeah.
that, cover each other?
And, you know, that's the great thing about working... with my staff, you know, between Matt Jenkins, who's been with me for going on 18 years, Matt Williams has been with me for, 8 years, and Gianna now for 4 years, we work so well together because we all know what you're expected to do, but how you can help out your coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
If I take a girls' basketball score on the phone, which is very likely on a Tuesday, I'm not out doing hockey on Tuesdays, Gianna might be out of the game, but calls will come in while she's out.
Right, right.
I'm going to take all the information, not only for the newspaper, but other stuff that she might need that could be a nugget she uses down the road, or, you know, mm-hmm. so-and-so scored 5 points, not enough to put in the paper, but, wow, came off the bench, played great defense, has really worked their way into a role where they're going to see regular time off the bench, so she can plant that and use it down the road kind of thing.
Now, let me ask about columns. I love reading columns, sports columns, because there's a lot of
I don't know, nuggets, good stuff.
Yeah.
It's not just nuts and bolts. I love the nuts and bolts, too, because that's what sports is. But is there pressure writing a column? Because they always look so natural. They look like they're so much fun. Look like you got so much stuff in your head that you want to get out, and you can't get it all out in 1 week. But on the other hand, when you're doing all this other stuff, sometimes maybe you can't put together a column. Is there pressure to do that?
I would be lying if I said there was. I don't think so. For me, it's a labor
of
love.
I'm glad to hear that. That's beautiful, yeah.
If there's pressure, it's that I have to fit it within a certain... I could write double what I do every week. You know, and I... You know, you just couldn't do that with a newspaper. We don't have the space for it. But, yeah, you know, I talk to every one of our coaches at least once a week, you know, for the hockey. And it's a...
Yeah.
You know, there's only 10, 11 guys that we have to deal with. But I have really close contacts with all the guys. I like to find out what's going on. You know, who's moving up in lines. Who's injured? Who's playing well? I try to look for trends. I try to look for, you know, somebody's got a long stretch of home games in a row. If you're playing a lot of, you know, league games in a row and you're, you know, or you mentioned, you know, Modelhead's scoring 5 goals a game or Peavy's only giving up 4 goals in 4 games. I can tell you I'm working on next week on the a story. You know, we have what's called a lead, the first item in the column, and then little nuggets after that. But the lead for next week is going to be... the two Johnson brothers over at Swampscott. You know, you have Mike Johnson, who's a tremendous scorer for them, junior. He's already a captain of the team. He could hit 100 points this season. He's that prolific a scorer. Not for this season, I mean for his career.
Right, right.
And his brother Dan is really taking the reins as a sophomore goaltender. So you have one guy who's the scorer and one guy who's the puck stopper. Hi, Andrew. How are you, pal? And, sorry.
No, no, this is like being up with Coach Perrone. It's the same thing.
Yeah, this is what happens when we're at the rink, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
But that's how I try to look for different things and spread it around. And, you know, I started last year doing a Q&A with a kid from a different team every week.
Excellent.
So that kind of packages with the hockey column. And I think if you talk to Matt, Willie, or Gianna, they would all agree that the columns take some work, but it's a labor of love because you do get to find out that you're passing on information that our readers want to read. And people, I hear it all the time.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, you know, and it's nice to hear, you know, oh, love the Blue Line Report. When's the next Blue Line? You know, that kind of stuff. And I like to be able to provide the information that people want to hear. So,
well, the good stuff, too, Phil, is that it's all positive. And that's so important to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you have to be objective. You have to be a journalist. I mean, I always say, and it's true, I don't root for anybody. I root for good stories. You know, I certainly like when our teams do well, and I like... A lot of the coaches are good people, and you know, so many of the student athletes are great kids, and you want to see them do well, but you need to remain objective, and you know, it's not difficult.
You
root for the story.
Everybody knows that I taught at Gloucester High School, but I worked at WESX for 30 odd years, and I tried to be neutral, and I think I was. I'm a fan of the league. I love the Northeastern Conference and the KPN League.
Yeah.
And what's great is when we get to a state tournament. We can root for the team at that point. You know what I'm saying? You can root for the league representative. But what's cool is you see kids from all over the area. Two things. One is that sports makes the entire North Shore a small neighborhood.
Yeah.
You can talk to anybody, anywhere, at any time. And once you start talking about high school sports, bang. You got a friend. You got someone you can communicate with.
Well, I said earlier, you know, geez, I love it when the teams have a little bit of, you know, clashing.
Absolutely.
I do like that. I think that's what makes sports great. But... I think deep down there's also a lot of pride in your conference. And if, say if this were a playoff game and Modelhead knocks off Beverly, well, if I'm Beverly, I want Modelhead to go all the way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
absolutely.
Have a team from your league.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I think that you guys certainly show and display is that kids are kids everywhere.
That's right.
You see similarities just everywhere. And there are so many distractions today that – academics and athletics joined together just really keep so many of these kids on the right path.
Well, you know, as you mentioned earlier, going to the Winter Classic yesterday, and, you know, those pro athletes, they're so used to being interviewed, and, you know, it's just like on autopilot for those guys, and they're playing for millions of dollars now. You know, you interview a kid down here, and they are thrilled to be interviewed.
Yeah.
You know, and they, you know... They're not getting paid to play. They have to pay to play.
And the coaches appreciate the coverage. The coaches do really, really promote their programs.
You know what I would describe it as, Rick? Honestly, it's like an ecosystem, and everything has to work together for it to be at its best. And you know, we don't work for the schools, but we work with the schools, and they understand we have a job to do, and we understand that they are teaching, you know, young men and women, and you know, not only about the sport that they're in, but life lessons and all. So we all kind of work together towards the same goal.
Well, you've enlightened me. I can't wait to get back over to the paper to see you guys at work. We got to film that one of these days. Get it live. Okay, we're underway. Third period, 3-0 Marblehead leading. And once again, Kalinowski sends it into the Beverly end.
And Beverly's just ended that power play. It's going to end in 2-1 and back to full strength.
Correct. So now it's 5-on-5. Yes, thank you for mentioning that. The period ended with a couple of seconds remaining on the Marblehead penalty. So the headers will bring it across the line. Janesco backhands it into the zone. First man down there is Braden Haley. Sends it into the left wing corner. Trying to center it. Kalinowski will fight Clowen for the puck. It comes around a wall for Beverly, but he can't get it off the wall or out of the zone. Still in the right wing corner. Kloutman with it. Slides it all the way around the boards, and it hops out of the zone. But tracked down nicely by Janesco, who's all over the ice. Flying at center ice. Chofi trying to split the D. Loses it. Goes in the left wing corner. Haley picks it up. And it's taken away. Or is it taken away by the Panthers? Wall along the boards. Comes back to the point. P.J. Roy, long shot wide. Left. Haley on the right side. Sticks it back into the corner. Left side. Down low behind the cage for Chofi. Drew Chofi loses it to Wall. Skates it out to center ice to Spencer back to Wall, but he loses it. Intercepted. Kalinowski high off the glass left side. Up and over everything. Munzing tries to check it or track it down. Rather, Semperi with it. Croteau helps out. And he gets some help in turns from Pisa. But right back come the headers. Down low, right wing side. Piccarello comes back to center ice. Off the boards. Pisa sends it into the Marblehead end. Trying to fight for it. Two headers all over him, though. And it comes out to the right side.
We haven't heard Pisa's name much today, but nice work there along the wall. Mm-hmm. Trying to make something happen.
Marblehead clears it all the way into the Beverly end. And apparently this will be icing or offside. Which? Uh-oh, penalty.
Yes.
Hooking. My.
What do you know?
So Beverly will be a man short.
This time it's going to be the Panthers.
Yep. Quattro goes off.
And was that a hook as well?
Yep.
All right. Marblehead yep. 1-for-2 on the man advantage this far.
This is at 155. 3-0. Marblehead leading. Kalinowski with two goals. And Daly with the other one. So that first line striking for all three scores up to this point.
You know, you hate to see those stick penalties, you know, because to me that's just, I don't want to say lazy, but they can be so avoided, you know, the hooking calls.
Well, that's a good point, and I think coaches drill into the kids, don't they, keep the stick on the ice?
Yeah.
That's part of the deal.
I mean, there are other ways to impede somebody without putting that blade into their midsection and giving it a tug.
Braden Haley sets up shot, but he's intercepted at the top of the circle, and Spencer clears it out of the zone. 55 seconds left in the Marblehead man advantage. Stolen! Oh,
Timmy McCarthy.
Yeah, McCarthy with a backhanded shot goes wide. He picked it off right in front of the Marblehead cage in a shorthanded effort. Haley slides it across to the right side for Chofi, trying to bounce it off the boards and set up shop. Kalinowski down low left side. He's a left-handed shot, wheeling on the left side. Drops it back to the point. Right-handed shot, P.J. Roy. Gives it back to Kalinowski. Circle left, circle right over to Chofi. Oh, a nice move by Wall, stealing the puck with a 2-on-1. Here comes Beverly across the line, short-handed effort. Wall along the ice, rebound, hacked at.
Who saved?
Save Cunningham. Good effort by Beverly, short-handed. And Marblehead will collect itself with 8 seconds remaining in its man advantage. But Wall keeping it in the Marblehead end. Terrific effort by Wall and McCarthy on this penalty kill. Penalty is over. Flying out of the zone are the headers, but Janesco goes offside.
Those are perhaps Beverly's two best chances.
Absolutely.
Right there,
right? Absolutely. And Wall did it really starting in his own end, stealing the puck, shorthanded down in his own end and bringing it out. So the penalty is over. Score remains 3-0 with 11:28 left to go in this one. Beverly and Marblehead. North Shore Sports Night will return on Monday night on MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore along with Salem News Sports Editor Phil Stacey. This one, from start to this point, has been controlled by Marblehead.
I don't think anybody could debate that.
Mm-hmm. Decent crowd. It's not packed here, but a very nice crowd for
what is this, a Saturday? Is it late Saturday afternoon, early Saturday evening?
Yeah, I think this is why this rink was made the size it was, to make it feel intimate. And, you know, you get the stands pretty full, and you get rings around both ends by the behind the goals. I like it. It's a good feeling.
Piccarello wins the faceoff back to Gillis. Back low to Piccarello. Taken away by Pisa. And right back into the Beverly end. Panthers just can't get anything sustained out of the zone. Play still in the Beverly end. 5-6 players down to our left-hand corner. Pisa will send it around. Collect it at the line. Kept in at the line by Piccarello. Shot along the ice. Goes wide after the save, I should say. And finally taken out by Cottrell. He gets it over on the left wing side to a teammate, Cloutman. Weak backhander as Beverly has to change up. Marblehead out of the zone. And it's going to go back Semperi, past Semperi, deep. He'll pick it up as Marblehead changes up. 10 minutes, 12 seconds left to go in the game. Play is at center at the moment. Nobody controlling it. And the headers will form the attack. Bouncing shot. Save is made. Bouncing shot from way outside.
That'll count.
Mm-hmm.
That'd have been in the net if he didn't get in front of it.
Still kept in at that left point.
That's how I judge it. You know, I mean, if it's even if it's dumped in, if it would have been on net, if it would have gone in the net,
absolutely.
That's a shot.
Absolutely. If there were no goaltender there and it goes in, it could have gone in.
Yeah, I've heard some people say they don't count it if it's beyond the blue line, which is ridiculous.
Of course.
Because clearly you can score from beyond the blue line.
Icing on Beverly. I believe goaltenders have scored goals from time to time, haven't they?
I can remember, Ron Hextall, Martin Brodeur.
Jerry Chivas get one?
No, I think Hextall was the first one.
I thought some Bruin goalie got one once.
Maybe
it was an assist.
It was, you know, actually, the first ever goal was against the Bruins.
Is that right?
Yeah, Hextall.
Oh, my.
Yep.
All right, so we're 5-on-5. Play is in the Beverly end. Spencer fighting for it, but it's taken away by Chofi. Circles the cage, sends it to Kalinowski right side. Throws it across back in the left wing, trying to cook up with Haley. But Beverly will bring it out of the zone. Spencer leads the attack with Wall. Loses it at the line. Picks it up at his own line. Brings it back to Sean Hanlon. And he, in turn, loses it in the other direction to the other number 24, Ionesco. And he's going to bring it out himself. Stick handling nicely. Now he slides along right wing side, back to the left side. Haley across the line. Oh, nice check. Beautiful defensive play by Sean Hanlon. Puck goes into the right wing side deep. Chris Hanlon fighting for the puck, and Wall will bring it out. Getting a lot of ice time out there, this first line for Beverly. Almost halfway through the third period. Kalinowski stick handling, left low, nice drop pass. Leaves it for Ionesco, but he can't get it through. Loose puck near the crease, taken away by Klotman. Slides it off the board's right point. Teed up on that right point, and the shot goes wide by Driscoll. Down low. Puck trickles in on the goalie. I believe it's no goal. No goal. Waved it off.
No, I think it wasn't close to a goal, but it looked as though Doyle had tried to cover it up with his blocker, and the puck squirted free as he went down to cover it up,
and
they called the whistle.
Colin Daly was chipping at it, and all I saw was the official wave his arms like a safe call for an umpire.
Well, that's twice, I think, that Marblehead maybe did not get the benefit of the doubt on a loose puck in the crease there, but...
All right.
Remain in control here with 8:20 to go.
Face off to Doyle's right, and it's controlled by Beverly.
You know, I will say, Rick, I think Beverly has played, if plucky is the right word this period.
Absolutely.
You know, they're down, and I would say the chances of them mounting a comeback certainly grow slimmer with each passing minute. But they played hard this period.
Oh, there's an intercept.
Wow.
Great save on a 1-on-0 by the Marblehead Magicians, I want to say, but by the headers.
Daly, yeah.
Yeah. As Colin Daly was set up nicely on a feed in alone, and he shot it just wide. Oh, didn't shoot it wide. It was a terrific save by Doyle. And Beverly clears it into their own bench area. So Daly gets a nice round of applause. The headers, except for Daly, they might have 4 or 5 more tonight.
Yeah, I think you're right. He's got how many saves now? 26 saves, and I would say probably 10 to 12 of those will be the 10 bell type, you know.
10 bells. Okay, halfway through the third period, 3-0 Marblehead. And for the Headers, they will be at Peabody on Wednesday. It'll be a 5:15 game. Winthrop will be here on Wednesday. There's a shot that trickles through, and Dole doesn't know where it is. He looked behind him. He must be sitting on it. So a test for Marblehead on Wednesday against Peabody, and Winthrop coming in here against Beverly on Wednesday as well. We'll have our schedule up later on in the week. Bill and I are going to get together on Monday and put together a schedule, so check it out.
Doesn't get any easier for Beverly with Winthrop coming in.
Yeah, really. 2-on-1, Spencer with Wall for Beverly, blocked nicely by the defense. Back-checking for Marblehead was Duncan Leggett, did a great job to break up the pass.
Yeah, and Henniger did a nice job getting back there, too, to make sure there was no rebound.
Spencer circles the cage, and it's blocked, goes up over the cage. Wall with it. Beverly over to McCarthy. McCarthy tries to stuff it. Can't. Still with it. Extended goal line. Right side. He is hit from behind. But it's still kept in. But now it's cleared out of the zone. And no icing as Chris Hanlon gets back for it for Beverly. Tries to get it up along the line. Can't. Taken away though. Now Marblehead on the attack. But they lose it to Hanlon. And he'll be able to bring it out himself, just cruising along that left wing board. Slides it on edge all the way around the cage. First man down into the zone is Munzing for Beverly. But he loses it to Ridge Driscoll, who's weaving his way through. Gets it up ahead, left wing side. Here comes Braden Haley. Sliding it in front. Terrific save. Shot, rebound. Oh, and he's robbed. Doyle robs the entire line that time of the first line. Haley with a chance. Kalinowski with a chance. Set up by Chofi. And Doyle was equal to it. Headers once again forming the attack. Cleared away out of the zone, though, by Chris Hanlon. And that will force P.J. Roy to go by. Now he circles his cage, gathering up some speed. Left wing feed to Haley across the line. Weaving, shot, save. Goes into the left wing corner. Haley bumps a Beverly player. Comes back out to the point. Kept in left side by Marblehead. And the Panthers are able to clear it. At center ice, Ridge Driscoll slides it along the boards, goes in on the goalie. He's going to hold on. Team needs a break here.
You're not kidding.
Whew, I mean, mercy.
A lot of pressure there.
Oh, my. But he was terrific. Doyle with a great save on Haley and Kalinowski on the rebound. Two terrific saves. 5:19 left to go in this one. Marblehead on top, 3-0. Headers coming into this game. 27 goals, 4, 13 allowed overall. 10, 4, and 5 allowed in the league. Off the face-off shot, doesn't get through. Wall.
You can see why, too, Rick. You know, I mean, the speed.
Oh, yeah.
The constant attacking, you know, all three lines just really going after it offensively.
Yeah, it's relentless. And they come out of the zone so easily, their own zone.
Yes,
Panthers back on their heels again, get it out to center ice. Delayed offside, and the Beverly Panthers are able to clear it finally to the line. Look out here. Could be a possible 2-on-1, but Beverly has it for a time anyway. Get it to center ice. Cleared back in long range by the Marblehead defense. Down low. Centering pass. Can't get through as McGurran tried to do something with it. Can't. Goes in on goal. All the way in the other end. So Cunningham stops the puck. Left wing feed to McGurran. Can't collect it. Aiden Gillis will pick it up for Beverly. Weaving. Ahead it goes to McGurran. Left wing side diagonally from left to right as Marblehead changes up. 4:11 left to go in the game. Panthers cleared up to the line. And they just can't make anything go. Pisa can't come up with a puck. Back to center ice. Comes Marblehead. Colin Daly with it across the line. No, it's Jacob Garfield. 16. Centers it. Shot. Oh, picked off nicely by Doyle. Oh, man, what a save that was. As, who was that? Number 20 with the shot. James McCarthy was set up by Garfield. And McCarthy was about 20 feet out in front, going for the right-hand side, top corner right side. And Doyle picked it off. Score remains 3-0. Face off to Doyle's right. He's been tremendous in his third period.
10 saves in at least 10 saves in every period so far.
Cowabunga. All right. So Wallen out there again trying to get the puck out of the zone. He's out there with McCarthy. Play is at center. A little ragged at the moment. Nobody really coming up with the puck. Everybody fighting for it along the boards. Still nobody with it. McCarthy trying to hack at it and come up with it. Wall fighting for it. Chips it into the Marblehead end. Beverly down by 3. No penalties here in this third period. There was one, just a Cottrell.
Just the one, yeah.
Yeah. No scoring in the third period. Play is in the Marblehead end at the moment. Player is falling. Here's a 2-on-1 for the headers coming out of the zone. Left wing feed. Drop pass to the right side as it's stolen away. McCarthy and Garfield trying to do something with it. Couldn't. And Hanlon right across the line. He shoots. Save is made. Goes behind the cage. Comes back out to center ice. And the headers will clear it. One flurry is all you get for Beverly, and they just can't put it home. 2 minutes, 40 seconds left to go in this one. Headers on the attack. Daly across the line. Check it. Braden Haley bumped off the play. Comes back to center ice. Marblehead just playing pass in their own zone, playing catch right now. And it is still in the Marblehead end. Can't be kept in, though, by McCarthy. So he'll have to tag up, as they say, and the headers bring it out of the zone. Down to 2 minutes left. Dineshko bumped off the play, but he gets it into the Beverly end. Play down in the Beverly zone. Marblehead just kind of backing off a little bit right now, not really forechecking. And bad pass comes back out to the left point, kept in there by the headers.
And I think what we're going to see, Rick, is that both teams are certainly going to find things that they're going to work on from this game. For Marblehead, obviously it's going to be staying out of the box, but also maybe getting a little more of a killer instinct. You want to put the hammer down when you have a chance. They've had a lot of chances to do so. Of course, Troy Dole's had a lot to say about that in the Beverly cage. And for Beverly, it's a constant work in progress here, finding some offense. As you've said, they scored how many goals coming into today?
Just 9, I believe.
Yeah, I was going to say 7 or 9
goals.
Yeah,
9 for the whole season.
Okay, so
this is the 6th game.
Unless they can score in the next 98 seconds, that's going to be 9 in 6 games. That's not going to cut it at any level. So they got to find a way to get somebody to put that puck in the net.
Well, I think they found a goaltender, for sure.
No question about that.
And they've only given up, to this coming into the game, 16 goals in those 5 games.
Right, so, they're all right there,
Well, we're down to 1:20 left to go, and again, Marblehead backing off, sort of like in a prevent defense, not really forechecking at all.
No, that's a good way to put it.
I think they want to preserve the shutout at this point, is probably the main goal, but a good effort, and again, I think you alluded to it, Phil, the scrappiness of Beverly, just hanging in there, fighting for every inch, and trying to keep up. But that first line of Marblehead, boy, they not only can pass, not only are they quick and fast, but they also pretty good with passes. They know where each other is. They put the puck on the stick.
And that just comes with familiarity, working together for years and over the summer, off season, things like that. Just having that sense of where your teammates are.
There's Daly sliding a shot along the ice, labeled a far corner, sticked aside by Doyle. And we're inside of 1 minute left to go.
32 shots now, 32 saves, I should say, for Doyle. That is a season high for the sophomore.
Spencer across the line, and Marblehead they're just playing an umbrella defense. It's really weird. I haven't seen this before. But they're just backing off and protecting the net. 38 seconds left to go. They want the shutout. This is amazing. Nobody in the zone at all, as Beverly will bring it out. Pretty cool. A prevent defense in the last minute of the game. 26 seconds left to go. The puck is in the Marblehead end, but the headers control it. And they get it out of the zone. Chipped out to center ice. Face off. With 16 seconds left to go, Marblehead is going to put this one in the bank. They will go to 6-0. Pretty impressive start for the headers. And again, big test for them in Peabody, 5:15 on Wednesday. And check out the website, msonewsports.com.
Marblehead's had a lot of great teams over the years, but I can't recall one that won its first 6 games.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
You know, there's always a tie or an early season loss or some kind of blemish, you know.
Well, that's interesting. I'm sure you'll go back to the archives.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it as time runs out with the puck in the Beverly Inn. We'll take a quick break and wrap this thing up. If Phil is still around, we'll summarize this game for you. But the final score from the Bork Arena is Marblehead 3 and Beverly 0. We'll be back with our final wrap in just a second.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Well, Marblehead goaltender Ronan Cunningham pitches the shutout, but he sure got a lot of help from guys in front of him. 3-0 win for the Headers.
Yeah, that's right.
And very quickly, the goal scorer is one in the first period. Tim Kalinowski at 11:18, power play effort for Marblehead. And then Daly at the 56-second mark with Piccarello, the assist. 2-0 in the second. Final goal of the game, Kalinowski at 11:57 of the second period, his second of the game. Kalinowski now with two more goals. That gives him 9 for the season and a total of 17 points to this point. Marblehead now has scored 30 goals, allowed 13 in the season, and they have scored in the conference 13 and allowed 5. So, you know, impressive effort. And Coach Jackson was saying, we need some better goaltending. Well, my goodness, it can't get much better than that.
No, as we said, that was the question mark on this very talented team coming into the season, but if they're as easy as that, I don't think he's going to have too many worries. I mean, Ronan was tough when he had to be, and it wasn't often, but when the situation called for it, he made a couple of nice saves in the third period on a shorthanded flurry by Beverly, a save and the rebound. And, that defense in front of him, Roy and Gillis and Henniger and Leggett, those guys can play lockdown, and they did not really give Beverly too many sniffs at the goal. I think for Beverly, they need to find a way to string together some more passes a little quicker. They got to move a little faster and make those decisions faster in order to prevent, passes being broken up, lanes being clogged, things like that. And that's going to take time with a young team.
I think the other thing, too, is that the Marblehead forwards, they come back so nicely to help out in their own zone. But the defense is, boy, they're an anchor. They've got it all.
They are. They're strong. And, you know, at this point, as I said, during the broadcast, they have to be the favorite in this conference. I know Beverly might not be as strong as some of the other teams in the NEC that Marblehead will face. But, when Marblehead's on its game, I think they're going to be tough to beat.
We should point out a couple of good efforts tonight from Luke Samperi of Beverly. Ross Wall played a terrific game up front along with Tim McCarthy and Hunter Spencer. That first line doing very well. And Sean Hanlon, a terrific game as well to go along with the goaltending of Troy Doyle.
That's right. There's bright spots for Beverly. It's not all doom and gloom. Yes, they're 0-4-2 with Winthrop coming in Wednesday. But as you mentioned, Wall, Spencer, McCarthy, both Hanlon brothers. I thought Samperi played a good game. There are places to build on. I think what hurts Beverly is, they are young, as we said. They're inexperienced, and they don't have a lot of depth. They do have Doyle in the back, though. So, boy, if they can just limit some shots and pump a couple in at the other end, all it takes is one win to kind of get momentum going.
Absolutely.
And that's what they need.
It's contagious, too. Once you start scoring, you'll get it.
That's right.
So, Phil, what's next? Now, you got a game tonight, so we'll be looking for that online.
Yeah, I'm going to get interviews now.
Okay.
And it looks like I'm going to have a little time in between games, so I'll bang out a quick story. We'll get that up online for the viewership, who's waited with bated breath, I'm sure. And
absolutely.
Maybe have a little dinner and then get ready for game number 2.
Thank you, my man.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Thank you so much, Phil. I appreciate it as well.
We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. We'll see you at the next rink. Phil's got to go to work, and I kept him probably a little bit too long. That's Phil Stacey, the Salem News sports editor. Appreciate his help. Final score here from the Ray Bork Arena is Marblehead 3 and Beverly 0. For the Headers, which one? Yeah, you can take it. Yeah, that's fine. For the Headers, again, they are now 6-0. They've scored 30 goals, allowed 13 in overall. In the conference, they are 3-0. They've scored 13 goals, allowed 5. Meanwhile, Beverly 0-4-2 overall, scored 9 goals, allowed 19. In the conference, they are 0-2-1. And again, seven goals that they have scored, and they've given up 11. So they're pretty stingy on defense. They just have to find a way to get some offense going. Again, check the website. We'll have our schedule up later on in the week. We've got hockey and basketball coming up this week and for the winter sports schedule as well. Check out msonewsports.com. Bill and I will be getting together early in the week to put a schedule together. Lots more hockey and plenty more basketball to go. Comments, suggestions, complaints, send them along to msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. So, on behalf of Phil Stacey, Bill Newell, and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore, wishing you a very pleasant good evening, and have a great weekend. Final score from the Bork Arena, Marblehead 3, Beverly nothing.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.